It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. There are more than 71,000 female military veterans living in Pennsylvania, according to recent numbers from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Pittsburgh resident Kayla Williams was recently appointed to become the director of the VA Center for Women Veterans by Secretary Robert McDonald. Ms. Williams, who is a former intelligence specialist in the U.S. Army and served as an Arabic linguist, is also the author of two books chronicling her deployment to Iraq and return home. Love My Rifle More Than You, Young and Female in the U.S. Army, a memoir about her deployment to Iraq, and Plenty of Time When We Get Home, Love and Recovery in the Aftermath of War. She joins us now by phone from Washington, D.C. Kayla Williams, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
You worked for many years at RAND conducting research on service members as well as security and intelligence. You have also spent a lot of time overseas in Iraq as a linguist. What have you found from your background has had the most influence on your new position so far?
I think really it's the intersection of my personal experience serving in the military and being a veteran, and then the professional experience that I gained at RAND that helped me develop a really deep appreciation for the importance of evidence-based interventions. You know, I think so many of us have an experience where we think, oh, well, that worked for me, so it must be a great idea, but that doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate well to everybody else. And so that time at the RAND Corporation really helped me understand how important it is that before we roll something out at taxpayer expense, that we really make sure that it is going to be an effort, a program, or an initiative of some kind that is most likely to be able to benefit the most people.
How different are the needs of women veterans? Do they differ greatly from those of the men?
So there are very few things that are specific to women, and those would primarily be for gender-specific health needs. And even some of those can affect both men and women. So men can also get breast cancer, for example. So really, very few that are exclusive to women. However, women are disproportionately affected by a number of other types of challenges. So just like in the civilian sector, women veterans are more likely to be the primary caregivers of small children. So they may need child care options or guidance on how to access child care to make their medical appointments. Women are disproportionately likely, because they're the primary caregivers of small children more often, they may have different challenges if they become homeless. Some of the programs developed to serve the homeless population don't accept families with small children, and so women need different interventions to assist them. And again, those aren't problems that are exclusive to women, but that disproportionately affect women. And the final one that springs to mind often is the military sexual trauma. Women are much more likely to have experienced sexual harassment and sexual assault while serving in the military than men. Although, because we're such a tiny minority of the military population, by raw numbers, roughly the same numbers of men and women have experienced those unfortunate incidents.
Well, and looking at the VA projections, the population of female veterans is expected to increase by about 10% over the next 10 years. So hopefully this won't be the case, but you could be dealing with more incidents of that. And in fact, at the RAND Corporation, you contributed to a study examining sexual harassment in the military that found more than a quarter of women in the military experienced sexual assault or sexual harassment. Can the VA work to help improve the situation for women who are currently serving?
That is really something that is up to the Department of Defense. But what VA can do is to continue to be in a position to provide care and services for veterans once they leave military service and enter the veteran population. And one thing many people don't know is that veterans who have experienced military sexual trauma do qualify for free health care and psychological care for any conditions arising from that exposure, often regardless of their ability to get other types of VA benefits. So even if they may have experienced some type of general discharge or discharge under other than honorable conditions that may affect their ability to get certain other VA benefits, we can still provide them care for any psychological or physical trauma that they incurred as a result of military sexual assault.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Kayla Williams, who is the new director of the VA Center for Women Veterans, appointed by Secretary Robert McDonald. Again, she is a former intelligence specialist in the United States Army and served as an Arabic linguist. What made you want to join the Army?
Well, like so many people, it wasn't just one thing. It was a number of factors that came together and inspired me to serve. I grew up with a single mom who was an artist, and so we had limited financial means. We were on food stamps a few times when I was a kid. So I grew up acutely aware that society had invested in me, and I wanted to repay that investment after I grew up. I also, when I was in undergrad, I majored in literature. They gave me a college degree for reading books, which is my favorite thing to do, so I kind of felt like I had cheated. And I wanted to really challenge myself, do something beyond my what I knew to be my limits. My first job after college was actually doing fundraising for public TV and radio stations, which was what I did as a job while I was a student. So again, I was doing something that I already felt comfortable with, and I wanted to get outside my comfort zone. And there was the desire to get money for graduate school so that I could further my education, so the GI Bill was a big driver. So really, it's this combination of things all coming together, wanting to serve and give something back to society, wanting to challenge myself, and wanting to get benefits to continue my education.
And what was it like for women? What was it like for you when you joined the Army? I'm guessing this might have been, some 15 years or so ago?
A pretty good guess. I joined in 2000, so pre-9/11, and I didn't think it seemed terribly likely that I would go to war. It seemed like a peacetime army, and I was learning Arabic, just needs of the Army that it was Arabic as opposed to Chinese or Korean, at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California on 9/11. And at that moment, I knew my military career was going to be very different than it would have been otherwise. It was no longer a question of whether or not I would go to war, just when and where. And I was assigned to the 101st Airborne Division, Air Assault, and took part of the initial invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. Back then, this was the era of you go to war with the Army you have. So because women at that point were still technically barred from direct ground combat arms jobs and units, and there weren't enough supplies to go around, I didn't have plates for my flak vest. Because women couldn't be in combat, so why would I need them? And yet, as an Arabic linguist, I was going out on combat foot patrols with the infantry in Baghdad, where I very definitely needed to have plates for my flak vest. So it was definitely a challenging time. I served with men who had never worked alongside women soldiers before and had some very out-of-date expectations of what it would be like to serve with women. They believed, for mysterious reasons that I've never figured out, that we would all be evacuated periodically to take showers. And I said, no, I'm just as dirty and disgusting as you are in Iraq. Don't worry. I don't get special treatment. So it was a learning experience for all of us, but one of the most rewarding parts of my time in the military, to actually be there and doing the mission that I had trained to do and supporting the combat arms soldiers in doing the mission that they had been trained to do and trying to do everything I could to make life better for both my fellow soldiers and also the innocent Iraqi civilians that I encountered.
And how have those experiences informed how you approach your job now?
One of the most important things that I learned from going to war is how to define a crisis. People often get really concerned about deadlines or, you know, a negative news story. They say, is anybody shooting at us? Is anybody actually going to die? Nobody's bleeding? Okay, it's not that bad. We can work through this, take a deep breath, calm down, step back, and we can figure out a way forward. But that perspective about what is a genuine crisis has really informed how I approached graduate school and now how, and both my position at RAND and now my position here, that, you know, that understanding of what is a genuine crisis versus what is something that's just urgent is profoundly important. And the other incredibly important thing is knowing my own strengths, knowing that I can make it through really tremendously difficult circumstances and come out okay on the other side, gives me a great deal of confidence that I can continue to do so. And it has given me a deep conviction that that is true for the vast majority of our veterans. Some of us may encounter difficult times as we reintegrate into the civilian sector after our service. But with a hand up rather than a hand out, the vast majority of us can go on to be contributing members of society, serving our communities in new ways. And the VA can be here to support folks through those difficult times and help them get on the right track, which is absolutely how things worked for me. I used my GI Bill to go to graduate school. I use VA healthcare today, and VA has been a real partner ensuring that my husband and I have been able to succeed in our civilian lives after our military service.
Right, and your husband is a combat wounded veteran, so helping him, which I'm assuming you do in order to have his needs met, helping him navigate the VA system, how much has that given you some insight into some of the frustrations perhaps that veterans go through and how they need to be better helped?
My husband sustained a penetrating traumatic brain injury in Iraq from a roadside bomb in October of 2003. And so I've been by his side as he's navigated his recovery from that time forward. And we got to see firsthand the challenges that you may have read about at Walter Reed back when he was a patient there. And then as he transitioned from the military system to the VA, gotten some firsthand insight into where some of the gaps are and what improvements may be helpful as others navigate the road home, those that are injured after he was. And taking part in advocacy work, trying to make those improvements, has been a real part of his recovery and my own journey to healing, feeling this obligation to turn around and make sure that the path is smoother for those continuing to come home. And I've seen just really tremendous improvements. When he was first hurt, the polytrauma system of care that exists today just didn't exist. So although he had the physical injury, a hole in his skull, shrapnel in his brain, as well as some damage to his ear, inner ear, and vision loss, and some other physical and physiological problems, as well as psychological problems resulting from the trauma, those were not looked at holistically by a team. It was just a bunch of different individual doctors looking at specific and separate parts of him as instead of him as a whole patient. So just the polytrauma system of care that has since stood up that looks at patients in an integrated way with a care team that's designed to sit down and tackle the whole patient and all of their problems at the same time, that's been an amazing improvement and I'm sure is very helpful for those who have been severely wounded since then.
And how do you intend to be part of the transformation of the VA, which clearly Secretary McDonald is trying very earnestly to orchestrate?
My job is to ensure that women veterans are considered at every step of that transformation. The mission of the Center for Women Veterans that I run is to monitor and coordinate VA's administration of health care and benefits, services, and programs for women veterans, serve as an advocate for cultural transformation inside and outside VA to recognize the service and contributions of women veterans and military women, and raise awareness of the responsibility to treat women veterans with dignity and respect. So the MyVA strategic transformation, which aims to improve the veterans' experience, increase access to health care, improve community care, and a number of other veteran touch points, for me, ensuring that as each step of that transformation goes through, that women veterans are considered is the absolutely most important part of what I'm doing today.
Kayla Williams has been our guest. She has become the new director of the VA Center for Women Veterans and is the author of two books, Love My Rifle, More Than You, Young and Female in the U.S. Army, a memoir about her deployment to Iraq, and Plenty of Time When We Get Home, Love and Recovery in the Aftermath of War. Kayla Williams, congratulations to you. We're proud that you're a Pittsburgh resident, and we thank you for taking the time to join us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And I would urge, if any of your listeners are women veterans who are struggling, they can call our call center, which is 1-855-VA-WOMEN, and they'll be in touch with somebody right there to help guide them through any of the challenges that they're facing in accessing VA care or benefits.
And again, that's 1-855-VA-WOMEN. We'll have a link to that information on our website at WESA.FM. Kayla Williams, thanks again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a terrific day.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.